I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The FT.
5 years ago, I was wrestling with the final courses of a posh dinner at Paris's Palais de Tokyo when the then director of the art centre, Marc-Olivier Wallet, interrupted our meal and asked if we wanted to go on a secret tour. It was an invitation impossible to resist. He warned that the going would get a little tough and that the ladies should probably take off their high-heeled shoes. We crawled through a tiny door into darkness. A couple of torches were switched on, and we were led along a couple of corridors and finally into a large abandoned theatre. There were gasps from all of us. There seemed to be a whole other art centre, or rather its ghost, running underneath the main building. Wallet talked of a plan to re-employ the generous spaces, although their spectral atmosphere as we fumbled our way around felt special. Tipsy bankers' wives waved their shoes and their wine glasses in appreciation, like a scene from Fellini. I thought of that evening earlier this week when I saw the expanded Palais de Tokyo for the first time since last year's refurbishment. All those lost halls and corridors have been reincorporated into the main house to create one of Europe's largest contemporary art spaces. What has been lost in charm and mystery has been gained in sheer scale. Artists have a veritable playground with which to tease out the ever-changing relationship between art and the environment in which it appears. Enter Philippe Parreno, whose current show, Anywhere, Anywhere, Out of the World, is attracting long queues of visitors in the streets outside the building. I know because he showed me one proudly on his iPhone. Parreno, whose work has always centred on ghostly presences and the dissolution of images, would have loved the underground treasure trove I discovered in 2008, but he's too busy scrambling our senses to wax nostalgic. Philippe Parreno has reconfigured the ways we experience the architecture of the building, warns the exhibition programme, and it's not kidding. It is less a sensory bombardment than a series of pot shots at our expectations. Flickering lights all around the show do not signal problems with the electricity, but turn the varied tempi of Stravinsky's Petrushka into a visual dance. The palais's high windows are covered with a film that blurs our vision. A dark room is subtly lit by glow-in-the-dark posters that represent the artist's previously abandoned works, more ghostliness. A screen manga character, Anne Lee, comes alive and turns into a Tino Segal work. She asks questions of her audience. What is the relationship between a sign and melancholia? The best answers come from children, the actress playing Anne Lee tells me later. What an art centre should do is deliver an experience, Parreno tells me over lunch in a nearby brasserie, to show art without showing a collection. He says a gallery for the 21st century should be able to attract our attention in a non-authoritarian way. He says it still bugs him that people question whether what he does is the work of an artist. Maybe people should ask of painters, why are you still painting, he says. Why are you working with symmetry? What's so interesting about symmetry? The true coup de théâtre of the exhibition is a showing of Zidane, the 2006 film Parreno made with Douglas Gordon, which had 17 cameras following the French footballer Zinedine Zidane during the course of a match between Real Madrid and Villarreal. For the first time, the film is being shown on 17 screens, each reflecting one camera's viewpoint. To be among them is to feel a little lost and spied upon. Hitchcock would have loved it, I tell him as we walk round together, and Parreno smiles as if there were no greater compliment. As we leave the hall, he tells me he's just received a text message from Zidane, which is frankly spooky. Upstairs, two automatic doors open and close like a mechanical ballet, seemingly allowing noise from the street to enter the hall, except that the doors are inside the building and do not open out into the outside world. Pianos without pianists continue to thump out Stravinsky. In reception, I am handed a DVD of two of Parreno's films, Marilyn and CHZ, which will erase themselves once they are watched. The crowds around the show seem disoriented but not unduly worried. The art gallery has come a long way in the past couple of decades. Just along the river from the Palais de Tokyo is the Grand Palais's lovely exhibition devoted to Georges Braque, celebrating a painter who did his best to upset the way we looked at art. Today's generation of artists is doing similar things with the cultural institutions that house art. Anywhere Anywhere has that sense of experimentation about it. It's impossible not to feel a little anxiety over its conceptual feints and sleights of hand. It seems somehow logical, as I leave the building, that an attendant warns me that there's a gunman on the loose in the streets outside. Why wouldn't there be? When nothing is as it seems, anything can happen. Pereno, in the meantime, has a calmer project at hand. Part of his discussions with Zidane involve establishing a park in the footballer's name. He is evidently a fan. I ask what he thinks about France's chances in a crucial World Cup qualifier the following evening, and he says he cannot bring himself to watch the game. Art can be unsettling, but football evidently unbearable.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.